Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Amen. We're in the book of Proverbs. Does anybody else need a bulletin? We got a couple left. Anybody else need one? What's it? You have one? Anybody else? Everybody else got what they need? All right. All right. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go back to the beginning before we get to the end. Amen. Switch. What's that? Sounds good. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. How about that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Okay. Man, that's so good. So this passage is not really dealing with gross rebellion. Okay. It's not this thing. It's really dealing with how sin begins, right? It does not start with destruction. Sin begins with an invitation. So this passage it's not about getting out of sin. It's about not stepping into it, right? And this is kind of where it's really more of a preemptive warning is really the situation. Number one is this, the invitation to sin. Okay, the invitation to sin. So again, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us. Okay, if they say, come with us. So what's going to happen here is Solomon says, listen, don't consent to them. And then he gives some, if they say, come on with us. Okay, listen, hey, sin is not presented. We talked about some of this last week, but we're going to overlap a little bit. But sin is not presented as danger. When sinners entice us, they don't present it as dangers. They present it as opportunity, right? The sin is presented as an opportunity is how that goes. So number one, it says, come with us, right? Come with us. That's number one under the come with us. It's really this. And we talked about this a little bit last week too. You'll gain something. Come with us. Hey, we're going to go and, we're going to come with us. Listen, you're not going to lose. It's not going to cost you anything, right? Nobody talks about sin. If you do that, I want you to know, if you sin with us, you're going to lose all your friends. Your family's going to hate you. You're going to find yourself at the bottom of the barrel shooting up like a junkie, right? Nobody says that. The drug dealer doesn't say, hey, come on over here and I'll ruin your life. You know what I mean? They say, hey, you're gonna gain something from this. You're not going to lose. You'll be part of something. You're going to be part of the us. Man, people love that so much. People just want to belong somewhere. I'm like, hey, I've got a place for you to belong. It'll keep you out of trouble. Okay, number two. Sin spreads through influence before it spreads through action. All right? You see that? Okay. Sin is going to spread through the influence of other people before actually it ever gets done. So this is kind of what, this is kind of how this thing works. It's not that people all of a sudden are in a bunch of sin and everybody, and what starts is it begins to change perception, change the thinking, right? We'll find people, you know, you'll see this, and we see it so often in news media and political circles and activists. By the way, whatever kind of activists, we're not just one side or the other. They both do the same stuff. They both have the same strategies. They just got different goals, but they do the same thing. There becomes this campaign of saying the same thing, saying the same thing, saying the same thing. Nothing's being done yet. And then all of a sudden, when it hits the streets, they got a pallet of bricks set up at a certain place. And all of a sudden, there's this thing. It's already stirred up in the heart. Influence had already happened before action. And so this thing about... So, A, the issue is not just sin itself. It is who is inviting you toward it. So keep your place here. But I want you to look over Proverbs 16. We're going to start trying to... I hadn't really done this as much, but I want to start doing this. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So wisdom overlaps. And we're going to find a lot of them. Sometimes there's exactly the same verses. And we're going to find one of those tonight. Proverbs 16 and verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Okay? This is it. This is the enticing, the leading in the wrong direction. And this is kind of the thing that's going. And so the fact is, it's not just the sin itself that Solomon's addressing here. It's the enticement. It's who is inviting you towards it. What kind of people are inviting you towards it? Well, the violent man, right? Those that are leading us and leading down the way, the thing that is not good. Well, no, Mom. No, Dad. No, she's a good friend. Right? No. And Mom and Dad's like, they want you to go sin. No, but that's just, they don't really mean that. Who told you to lie? You don't lie. Where did you get this idea to lie to me? Who told you? Where do you get? You don't lie to me. We don't do that at our house. Where do you get this idea to lie? Why did you lie? Well, I was with my friend, and they said if I said, okay, right? You know what kind of friend that is? It's a not friend. It's matter of fact, if I'm the dad, it's a friend you used to have. Right? You know what I'm saying? If sinners, you say, well, that's pretty serious. No, that's just because my kids are more important than their friends. I don't mean their friends aren't important. I mean, I might go try to reach their friends separately, but I'm not getting my child isn't a bait to put on the end of a line out there. And so it's tough, folks. It is tough because when sinners, Solomon's trying to warn his son. Okay, it's kind of the kind of people that are inviting toward this thing. There is the enticing. That's the leading in the wrong direction. Okay, number two is really this. He gets back here. Let's get back here. Just don't take the first step, right? Don't take the first step. Okay, verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. This is really what he's saying. It's really, look at A under that. This isn't about getting out of sin, but rather not stepping in it. Man, wouldn't that be better? It's we got this idea. We got this concept that I'm going to go with my friend and I'm going to get them out of their sin. Right? No, you shouldn't. No, I'm going to go there with them in their place of sin, and I'm going to draw them out of that. Okay? If someone is sitting on the ground and someone's standing up, it's so much easier to pull them down than it is to pull them up. Mm-hmm. Unless they want to come up. Right? And if they want to come up, you know what they're starting to do? Get away from the sin. If someone said, you know, if we think, I just got to go over there and rescue them from their sin. I'm not saying there's never, don't misunderstand. These are Proverbs. I'm not saying there's never a time for some of that stuff. But for the most part, if they're not willing to step out, all we're going to do is give them a period of time. We're going to go snatch them out of that. We're going to get them over here. And they're going to be over here and they're going to be, my mind just went blank. In Hosea and what was it? Gomer, right? You know, see that Gomer, that's the name of a prostitute. Sounds like it, you know, not Gomer Pyle, a different one. And so what he did, and God told him to do this, said, I want you to marry this prostitute. She's going to come. She's going to go back. And it was a picture of what Israel did. And he goes and she gets up there. He sets her life to be respectable and the wife of a prophet. It's going to be this great situation. And all she wanted to do, get back to that. Wow. And you, so until a person, so I'm just saying, listen, this isn't about getting out. It's so much easier to not ever get in it. Well, what do you do if you're already in it? That's a different proverb. Okay. It's a different proverb. Solomon teaches different things at different times. He says this, though. He says, refrain thy foot. Refrain thy foot. It really means hold back the step. Don't even step in that direction with him. This is where we start. Have you ever been enticed to sin? Never. I only live around holy people. They're the ones to tell. Anyway, so he said, if sinners entice you, somebody will say, hey, come on, we ought to just do this. And at first it sounds like fun. It doesn't sound evil. And next thing you know, because, right, we're enticed, doesn't sound dangerous. Doesn't sound sinful. It just sounds a little bit offish. Next thing you know, you found yourself somewhere. He said, listen, refrain thy foot. A good way to know that is, should I follow people that are going towards danger, right? And foolishness. So, number one, the key here is the enticement of those that would have you just take a small step with them, okay? They just want you to take a small step. No, you know, we call these gateway drugs, or we kind of just like this little thing, and just a little white lie. No, right? Have you read, you know where the white lies are in the Bible? Yeah, there's no little white lie. They're all just a lie. It's just a lie. Okay, keep your place here again. Turn over to Proverbs 4, just maybe a page over. So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, it says it this way. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Okay, here's what you do. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Okay, so we can see this continued warning. Don't even enter their way. That's the blank under A there. Don't even enter their way. Okay, so number two, four elements in this verse for us to follow. There's four things he says here. Number one, he says avoid it. Okay, so what we're dealing with already, that's Proverbs 1, is dealing with that, avoid it. We avoid it by this, by recognizing what it is and where it leads. Okay, all right. We start with this thing of we've got to have some discernment. We can't be simple in these things. Listen, I'm not saying I'm afraid. I'm looking at everybody side-eyed thinking, you trying to draw me into sin? I don't mean like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I can trust you. But when we find out about somebody, they keep going off into sin. They're probably going back there again. No. No, they've straightened up. They're not like they used to be. Okay, I'll tell you what. Then let them get on the straight for a little while. Then I might go off with them, right? And let them have good things. So we have to start with this thing by recognizing, listen, this is the choice to avoid before it ever even comes to the point of temptation. This is pre-contact, right? Avoid it. Now, I know that. I know what those people do. I know what's over there. I know that place. I'm going to avoid it. You see, Pastor, you think we just avoid everything? No, I don't think we avoid everything. That doesn't make sense. But we avoid things that we know are problems. You know what? Maybe I've said some of the other before. I had a friend. Matter of fact, it was the fellow that discipled me. When he got saved, before he got saved, he was a stand-up comedian. If you knew him, you'd be like, you ain't funny. I mean, no wonder you quit that. But he wasn't funny, was he? I mean, he was just... And he said, so for him, so we would watch together the Gaithers. This I told you before, they're the ones that... And we thought Mark Lowry was just hilarious. We thought he was so funny. He didn't like him. He said, I don't like this stuff. Like, and then he explained later on, for him, what it did is it tempted him back into that life for him. It had a draw on him. So for him, he's like, no, I can't do that stuff. You know what I mean? You know what he said? You know what he discerned? Preemptively chose, that affects me, so I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to avoid it. The second thing will be, pass not by it. Okay? This is really this. It says, don't even get close to it. Don't even get close to it. Sometimes, we will say, I have here, people will say, but really, sometimes we will say, I'm going to go to the party, but I'm not going to drink. All right. No. I'm not going to, I mean, we may not say that one, but some of these others. But somebody else say, no, I'm going to go to the party, but I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to go there because it's a work thing. I have to go. Do you? Do you have to go to a work thing that's drinking? Well, if I don't, I lose my job. Well, that was a good job. See ya. I'm not going to go somewhere where people are going to say, you have to come in the place of sin to be part of what? Come on now. Come on, folks. We don't believe that's true, do we? I hope you don't. I don't hope you. Well, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. Yeah, and that's all the things that are in here. Right? Let's don't get. Solomon's trying to help us here. Right? The Lord is trying to help us here. He said, but sometimes, you know, somebody, I'm not going to. I'm going to stay. Here's another one. Okay, this gets a little closer to us, all right? We'll say something like this. I'm going to stay away overnight on Saturday, but I'm going to come back in time for church. Yeah, of course I'm going to do that. You're going to go stay away on Saturday night? And yeah, no. I'm going to come back for church because that's important. And they don't make it. They don't make it. So many people have said, no, Pastor, I'm going to be there. All right, okay. I am somebody's daddy, but I'm not everybody's daddy. If my girls say that, I'm like, no, you ain't doing that. You crazy? You know how many times my girls stayed overnight at someone's house? I don't either. They didn't. You say, you didn't have overnights? No, and we sometimes we let kids stay at our house, but I mostly didn't want that either. We got enough overnights. You got a slumber party every night. and they did. They all slept. They had all, when they were little, they all like climbed into one bed. I mean, they all started separate by the time it's, I'm like, and I thought, when they go to Bible college, could I get a half price deal? By then they wanted their own bed. But listen, sometimes people say stuff like this, and what it is, here's what he said. Don't even pass by it. Don't even get close to it. Don't say, well, I'm just going to edge up and get a little closer because I can handle it now. And then, don't even walk near it is what he's saying. Here, maybe he's saying something like this. Refrain thy foot from it. Right? Don't get close enough. Listen to me now. I'm not making a law. We're not calling it a law. Pastor said we can't even get close to it. No, I'm talking about there's a proverb here. It says, wisdom says we stay away from that which is going to tempt us. We don't get close. Well, I'm not going to do it. Come on. See, turn from it. If you do happen to get near it, turn away from it. Okay. Okay. This is, okay, listen to what I'm going to say here. You're like, I thought you just said don't go buy it. You know, I'm not supposed to turn away. And you know, how am I supposed to turn away if I've already gone buy it? Well, sometimes we find ourselves in the wrong place. Right? Sometimes you're like, man, I'm avoiding. Next thing you know, you're like, man, how did I get here? He said, when we find that, turn away from it. Now watch what I'm going to say about this turning away from it. This is, here's the word, intentional. It's intentional, not passively waiting for it to go away from you. You know what? I've got here, and there's that. I don't know why over here is the sin for me today, but that's where it's at. It's right over here. It's not this side, but it's over here, the wall right there. Because I got to have a point, right? A reference. So that sin, I'm not going to go there, but somehow I got. And so I'm here, and all of a sudden I realize, I'm like, oh man, I've been working so hard to avoid this. I'm here. I guess I've got to endure it. No. Turn away from it. I mean, really, it means that get away from that thing. You realize it? Intentionally say, you know what? I found myself here. My job brought me here. I mean, all of a sudden, I've been in some places. I worked for this guy for a little while. He was a handyman. He's a guy in our church. Bless his heart. He never did this again. But he, remember back in the day of video stores? Like you go rent videos, remember that? Yeah, like that. There was one of those, and there was one in Omaha, and I would work with him, and we were working at this one, and we're building this kind of section in there. And I had no idea. I'm just going to work for him. We're helping him put sheetrock up and all this, and I walked in, I'm like, what is this anyway? And he said, well, this is going to be their X-rated section. I'm just, now there was nothing there yet. I mean, but I'm just like, I'm on staff as an assistant pastor at that time. But even though beside that, I'm just thinking. And so this is a guy in our church. I said, is this? And I'm trying to discern myself. Is this something we ought to be doing? I mean, I didn't want to find myself there. I didn't want to. I wanted to avoid that. I wanted to be, you know, here. I'm like, and there wasn't nothing there, and yet, you know, but it was going to be. And I'm like, should we be helping someone do this? And he was kind of, thankfully for him, he was now, his wife's on staff at a church now, been there for like a long time. But at the time, it was like, you know, you haven't, sometimes you find yourself, you haven't processed. It's like, oh, this is fine. We're just helping. The next thing you know, you're like, okay, this isn't fine. Intentionally, you know what he did after? He said, I'm not doing that again. I'm not getting myself in that. And he said, they've asked me to do two. They had two of these. He said, nope, not doing it. You know, amen. Because I ain't going. I didn't go back with him. I did one day. I said, no, I ain't go back with you. I ain't doing that. And so we get into some of this thing. Turn from it. Okay, I said, this is intentional, not passively waiting for it to go away from me. Okay, D, pass away. It's really this, get far away from it. It's really what it means. It's not just turn away from it, get far away. Don't linger near it, leave it far behind you. It's like, I'm not going to get close to that thing again. This is the instruction he's saying. Listen, B, the danger is not just walking with them. The danger is stepping in their direction. Okay? Because here, and the reason I say that, and what we're trying to, the thought I'm trying to follow here, is it's not like, I'm not doing it. I would never do that, right? You ever said something like that? Or heard, you've heard somebody say that. We wouldn't say that. But we've heard, I would never do that. When somebody responds aggressively to me, right away I'm thinking, No, I'm just thinking, wow, that was a strong response. This should have been like, I didn't think about that. No, I wouldn't do that. You're like, all right, so you already know it's wrong. You already know you should avoid it. You already know you shouldn't pass that way. You already know you're not removing your foot from that place. You're deciding I'm going to stay there anyway. So what we can do to justify ourselves, he said, I'm not doing it yet. But what Solomon's saying is this is a preemptive strike. He said, don't. Listen, it's not just in the midst of it. It's don't even start down that direction. That's the thing. Don't start. Number one, most people do not fall suddenly. They fall progressively. Okay? So, number two. Roman numeral two. The nature of sin is momentum. Okay? Look at verse 16. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Okay, A, they are not slowly tiptoeing, they are running, right? That's the word, making haste. They're getting to it, man. They want to get down there to it before anybody can stop them. Look at chapter 6, Proverbs 6, verse 16. The Bible says this, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. We're going to deal with this kind of phraseology Sunday night, but I will just tell you what this phraseology means, not just this one here, but this same phraseology is in Job. This phrase means I'm going to give you six things, it's going to be progressively and then intensifies, and then the seventh thing is kind of the completion of the whole thing. So here's what he's saying here, verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Watch of these things that the Lord hates. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. Okay, listen, here's the thing, the things that God hates. Feet that are swift to get to it. God doesn't just, I'd rather you don't do that. No, he says he hates that. This swiftness, this speed to get to it. So, number one, there is rarely a slow roll into sin. It is progressively quick. As soon as you get that one step in there, man, it's, you know, it's almost like you're watching. And you know the people, when people start being quiet around me, the pastor, you know, they avoid me. I'm not, they didn't talk to me. No, I mean, I know, right? Somebody that's excited, hey, pastor, how you doing? All of a sudden, it's like, no. You're like, does that happen? Oh, come on. People are funny. People are funny. People, we think we're good at hiding stuff. We're so obvious, you know. But you know, people like friends, neighbors, whoever. All of a sudden, you know, when I was a youth pastor, we had this youth group, and that's kind of what being a youth pastor is. And so this one girl, this family, we'd seen the family saved. They're coming to church. They're really, and the girl, the one teenage girl, she loved our family. My wife and I were in there. Girls were babies then. One day we're at Sunday school, just so, you know, just with us, you know, just there. By that Sunday night, she couldn't look us in the eye. Yeah, and I thought, wow, that's weird. I was young, and I'm like, that's weird. I'm learning that, right? I'm trying to figure stuff out. I'm like, what is... So what I realized, it took me some time to realize this kind of stuff. What happened is they went home and had roast preacher. Roast preacher. You understand? They went home and roasted the pastor, the assistant pastor at that time, and youth pastor, and said all these things. And I, because she didn't have that spirit towards us, went home with mom and dad and came back. And so a little bit later on, there's this, what I'm saying by that point is this, it's swift. Man, it's just all of a sudden, we don't slowly tiptoe into that thing. It is progressively quick. And you went from like, I'm watching. Now I tip my step in there. Now I'm gone before you catch me and stop me. That's why people get out of church. I mean, they hit that back door. Because they know if they stick around, they are going to be pummeled with like truth. Truth. Truth will mess you up. Truth will keep you from doing things you want to do. It really will. You know what I want to do? I want to do whatever makes me happy. Truth will mess that up altogether. You know? And so we get some of that. Under that, once you step onto the path, you are stepping into motion. So it's like a conveyor belt, right? An escalator that moves while you're standing. You ever, the moving walkways, you know, you step onto. I go to the airport in Oklahoma City. There's like four of those in a row. It's such a long way out to the parking lot. You get on it and you're like, zzz, and you walk a little bit. Zzz. I like it. I always thought it's weird. Why do people drag their bags through the middle when you could do that? Anyhow, I go amiss. It's like that. Once you get on that, you're going. You're going. Feet that are swift and running to mischief. It gives us the idea of one that is looking for the occasion to run back over to it. They just want to get back into that sin. Okay, Roman numeral 4. Sin blinds us to danger. It blinds us to danger. Verse 17 says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. So, okay, look, a bird sees a trap and avoids it. That's what a bird does. Yet when one follows after sin and sees the consequences and knows the truth and even watches other fall, hey, they still proceed into it. How ridiculous is that? This is what a bird sees the trap and doesn't go. But the sinner swiftly goes right back, knows it's a trap, watches friends. You know, and this is the deception of sin. This is the challenge of following after those that entice. We become blinded. Number two, sin convinces a man that what is clearly dangerous is somehow safe for them. No, I know this is dangerous. But when we turn to Proverbs 14:12, it says, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? We can begin to think, I've got this figured out. I can do this without it getting me. And that's what sin does. Though they can understand that the direction is a trap, they now convince themselves that it's the right way. Wow. They know there's a trap. I know everybody else falls in it, but I'm not going to. This is what they do. Listen, these are the same people that will follow after sin. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. They'll follow after sin, and they'll call it love. Follow after sin. Oh, no, but she loves me. He loves me, right? And they'll follow out, chase after sin, running after it. And you're like, what on earth? Why would you see it's a trap? Yeah, but... Listen, okay, they'll follow a job that takes them away from the Lord and their family. but claiming it is better for the same family. I know the job's going to get me away from the Lord. I know it's going to take me away from that. It's going to take me away from my family. But it's what my family needs, because what my family really needs is more money. Said no family ever. Dad, I wish you were gone, and I just, you know, I wish you were here. I wish you were gone. We just had more money. Not really. I mean, maybe at it for a moment. B, there is a choice that this individual makes. Proverbs 27, I'm just going to quickly get there and read it. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Okay, look here. Either way, turn from it or go right into the trap that's right in front of you. That's the choices. We either turn away from it or we go right into it. I'm done. This one. Number 5, it is self-destructive. It is self-destructive. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. For whose blood? Their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Listen, one might think they're trapping others, but in reality, they are trapping themselves. Number 1, yes, sin does harm others, but it also turns on the one who walks in it. We think we're going to be fine. Well, I don't care what happens to anybody else. First of all, yes, you do. Second, it's going to get you. B, this passage is not about extreme sin. It's about the first step. It begins with an invitation. It progresses with the step. It accelerates with momentum. It blinds with deception. And it ends in destruction. The last thing there. The path you are invited to walk is the same path that leads to ruin. And the danger begins with a single step in that direction. Listen, here's just the thing. We're done here, but there's going to be somebody in this room right here. Like, man, there's not that many here tonight. I know. There's going to be somebody in this room that's going to say, yeah, I know, but I know, but they're going to say, no, and they're going to say, no, they just, didn't you just see them put that trap out there? You know, I know, but I love them. Or it's what's best for my family. Or I don't have any other choice. We'll say all kinds of stuff like that. We'll see that trap that's there. We'll see it. And we'll know it's there. And everyone else will know it's there. And we'll say, I don't really have any choice but to just jump headlong into that trap. And they'll get out and they'll go away. And years later, sometimes many years later, they'll come back completely beat up. If they come back. But I've seen them. I've seen them over the years. They come back beat up. Their life is ravaged. I mean, just a shell of what they were, what they could have been for certain. And they'll come up back and say, Pastor, can I come back to church? Or I just need to get right with God. And you're like, yeah, amen. God's like that. But all along what they said is, I can handle it. Solomon says, don't take that step. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord, with this truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go through our life, that we, Lord, would remember these things from your word, and that it would stir us to discern and to see what would come before us. And really to remember what your word says about the end, that destruction, the direction that we're being drawn. Lord, help us, Lord, in a way that would be beyond our own ability. And Lord, we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name.